College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the morning show. Tom Kelly in for Joe DeCamera today, broadcasting live from the Borgata in Atlantic City as we get ready for the Phillies to open up the second half of their season tonight. Angels coming into town. We'll obviously talk about that throughout the course of the show a lot as the Phils get going again with a series at home against the Angels. Do you still believe that this team can win a World Series? One of the things we're talking about today, we'll have Beat the Kelly is what we're dubbing this, Buzz.
Yes, it is officially called Beat the Kelly.
Okay, Beat the Kelly coming up.
You nervous? 7:45. Are you excited?
I'm excited. What's the category?
I don't tell you that.
You can't tell you.
I was channeling my inner hammer there.
Yeah, I know. You're looking for a little edge. Yeah. So I know last time you were in, I did Beat the Beat, where I did the Phillies questions.
That's
I'm kind of glad that you're the one taking the heat today.
Okay.
After doing the afternoon show yesterday, I just feel like my brain can't handle that right now.
Beat the Beat is such a great title.
It is. I'm pretty proud of that one.
That was a Tom Kelly production.
Yeah.
Hey, and by the way, I want to give Buzz some credit for Quiet Riot right there.
Ugh.
Coming back with Quiet Riot from the break. Now that song,
I didn't appreciate Tom's groan there.
Yeah. Whenever I hear the sentence, I got to give Buzz credit. It's just like
that song was not actually originally written by Quiet Riot, which is surprising to me because I was a huge Quiet Riot fan back in 1983, which is when that came out. That Metal Health was the name of that album back when you would listen to the whole album. But man, that song tore this country up, man.
That's some good Quiet Riot knowledge.
10 MTV video countdown. That thing was at the top because it was glam rock and it was just cheesy looking. But that's a great song. Song to bring us back with.
There you go. Maybe it'll be maybe it'll be a musical related. The Beat the Kelly at 7:45. We'll see.
It's sports. I'll tell you, it's sports.
Oh, good. All right. That's good. That's
good. All you're getting.
Pop
right
culture
now.
Last time did not go well for me.
Yeah. So, that's not your forte, is it?
Glad we're doing sports today. 215-592-9494. So you want to get on the Phils, you're welcome to. If you want to try to convince John to get behind Joe today, we have 3 hours. 3 hours. By the end of the show, my goal is to get John Ritchie
in his quest
to get
to prove
John Ritchie
that he's a better athlete than Jack Fritz.
No, to
I
get
don't believe that.
No, it's to support your teammate. You're thinking about it too literally. This is a personal thing, John. You need to get behind Joe. You need to support him. And this turned into a show versus show thing, whether you like it or not. I mean, the afternoon show has made this what it is. You got to get behind him. So you want to get on that, you're welcome to. And our side topic today, who or what gets caught off the Colville play thing yesterday. But I did want to mention something else that came to mind with the Joel Embiid conversation. We talked obviously a lot about that article yesterday. And, you know, I saw both sides of it, and I still do see both sides of it. Like, there's plenty of blame to go around when you look at the Joel Embiid era and why things have gone the way that they've gone. But the more I think about this piece, the more frustrated I get that Joel Embiid decided to do this right now. Because regardless of who's at fault, regardless of what the Sixers have done or haven't done, how they manage his injuries or not, Joel Embiid is still a part of this organization right now. And, I mean, he's supposed to be the leader of the team. This is supposed to be a year in which, theoretically, you're still trying to compete for a championship. And being in that spot in the organization, I don't know how doing this piece right now and coming out and basically burying the organization, which is a lot of what Joel Embiid did, I don't know how that's beneficial to anything for the team for this season. And it just kind of bothers me that he went about it this way. And again, I'm not saying everything, you know, it's fully his fault for the way things have gone. I still do place the majority of blame on Joel Embiid for the way things have gone here. But I don't understand why he decided to do this interview right now. And I think with Joel, you always look at it, and I think he's a very smart guy. But we know he's passive aggressive. And I do wonder, like, I never think Joel Embiid would be the guy to come out and say, I want to get traded, because I don't think he'd want the fans to turn against him in that way. I wonder if this is kind of a passive-aggressive, get me out of here situation with Joel Embiid. What do you think, John? Like, what do you think, as a guy being a leader of a team, how is it beneficial to the team for him to come and do this right now?
It's absolutely not, Tom, and it's a perceptive point by you. This is the way a thoughtful NBA player begins the, you know, get me out of here movement. It, like, that, my fear is that's the way it looks. You know, like, doesn't it make sense that Joel is – he really is more of an introspective type guy than most NBA stars that I can think of. You know, doesn't it just sort of feel like this is him sending that salvo, like, hey, I'm sick of it. I'm so sick of it. I can't do it anymore. So here's why, you know, let me show you a little bit. Like, let me give you a peek behind the glass. It just feels like he's trying to justify what would be the move that we, you know, have debated for a couple years now, some of us longer than that. You know, when should Joel be no longer a Sixer?
Right. And there are some people that, I mean, some people will just defend Joel regardless. And, you know, it's never his fault and he shouldn't be held accountable for anything. But I look at this situation and I just think, if your goal is really to try to come back and get the knee healthy and come back and win this year, to come out and say basically, oh, I'm not going to be part of team meetings anymore. You know, I can't trust the guys around me. That's not beneficial to your team. And
that's crazy, Tom.
Yeah. I
like
mean, that
part
you
that you just mentioned.
That. You can't do that.
I'm not going saying, you know, I can't be part of team meetings. Like, these are all things like, holy cow, is this really happening? Like, you can't go back from that. Like, if you no longer take part in team meetings, and it sounds like that's what we're talking about, like, there is not a future
for you within this
organization moving forward with this team.
Yeah, and he essentially said, like, he's not collaborating with the Sixers on his injury right now. He basically said, oh, I'm going to play when I want to play, and, you know, they're going to have to like it. And it just feels to me like this is like a soft trade request. Like, he is trying to force the Sixers' hand here. But I don't think, like, I think he's got to be real about the options. Here's Bobby Marks yesterday on ESPN talking about the Sixers and Embiid and how this thing moves forward.
Partnership between Philadelphia and Joel Embiid, there's no turning back, right? Like, they've got to make this work, certainly from the Embiid health perspective here. And I remember last September when Joel Embiid had 2 years left on his contract and he wound up signing that 3-year max extension. And that drew a lot of ire across the league. Why would Philadelphia commit another 3 years to a player that certainly is an MVP candidate, but it certainly has been injury related? And here you look at it. There's 4 years, $242 million. Malika, the last year of that contract is $69 million. That is the danger zone of contracts. So for both sides, they've got to make it work here, for better or worse.
And that is the mindset that I wish Joel Embiid had. Because, you know, whether the Sixers want to trade him, whether Joel Embiid wants to get traded, logically, that's probably not happening right now. I mean, nobody's probably trading for him, considering his health situation and considering the salary.
Four years, 60 million. $60.5 million a year. Yeah.
They're just going to have to make it work here. And I, again, part of it is because I do think Joel Embiid is very intelligent, and I think he's very measured, and I think when he does things, he does them for a reason, and there's a purpose behind it. And the more I think about it, the more I feel like he's trying to force his way out of here. And I just don't like that being the mindset right now, because everybody's goal should be, okay, we might not be happy about how things went down. He might not be happy about the Sixers, how they managed his injury. I'm sure the Sixers aren't happy about the fact that he played in the Olympics last year. So it's time to put all that behind you and try to figure out a way to make it work. I don't feel like Joel's trying to do that right now.
I didn't really read it as that. I didn't read it as him, requesting a trade or wanting out. I read it as, because he even mentioned in the article, like, every time I talk to media, it gets kind of twisted and people overanalyze what and we're doing it right now. But, like, I'm kind of in the middle because I don't like some of the things he said. But then at the same time, I do feel like it was almost an explanation, not necessarily excuse making, although I see how it could be read that way. But an explanation into just like what he's been through and his journey to like get to where we're at right now, which is, I think he's aware, like not a good spot with the Sixers. And he's not, like, I didn't love what he said about the team meetings. I didn't love, you know, that he, I don't know how I feel about him saying like, well, I'm going to basically come back when I'm ready. I'm not going to let anyone force me to, because that hasn't worked in the past. But I also think like it hasn't worked in the past when the Sixers medical team hasn't really helped him. I mean, he said at the start of his career with the Sixers, he had interns helping him and he was trying to tell them his foot didn't feel right and they weren't believing him. So I think it was more like, this is my side of the story, so you guys all, you know, are aware.
I don't disagree. I just don't, like, to me, there's just no productive value in coming out and saying that right now. Like, there's no value in coming out and saying that right now when you're still a part of it. You're still a part of the organization.
Right, right. You know? Like, would I have loved to see him, you know, instead talk about how he's welcoming in and being a leader to guys like Vijay Edgecombe and, you know, the younger guys who are on the team? Yeah. Like, I don't think that it's productive, but I also, I don't think it's him saying, like, I went out. I think it's him saying, like, here's my explanation, whether it does good or not, which I don't think it's going to do much good for him.
Yeah, and that's just my read on it. Sports Radio 94 WIP. This is the morning show. Tom Kelly in for Joe DeCamera. Today we're broadcasting live from the Borgata Hotel, Casino, and Spa in Atlantic City. A beautiful weekend. Come on out to Borgata and down the shore. Should be a great weekend to be down the shore. Should be a great weekend to be down at Citizens Bank Park. Phillies back. They are taking on the Angels tonight. We were talking about it during the break. What kind of ovation do we expect Mike Trout to get tonight? Like, he typically gets standing O's when he comes back here, which I've always thought it's kind of weird.
Yeah.
You know?
I mean, I'm trying to find out the last time he actually played in Citizens Bank Park, because I feel like he's always injured.
Yeah, he didn't play last time.
Yeah.
I'm pretty sure.
I think it was 22 they played here, that series where Stott had the walk-off home run. I think he played in that series.
Oh, yeah, that was right after Girardi got fired.
Yes, that was very early Rob Thompson.
Oh, my gosh.
Man, that was when everything turned around, is Girardi gets fired, they sweep the Angels, Bryson Stott hits that home run, and then, that turned the 2022 season
June,
around.
June 2022, according to Google.
So okay. Trout comes in and does some amazing things in this series, and Mike Trout is the outfield addition, and his body actually holds up, and he can regain the magic from 10 years ago in his career. Is that even
I mean,
feasible?
It would be a good story. It would be fun for us to talk about. Yeah. I think it would be an incredibly reckless move for the
I don't
Phillies.
Think they're trading for like $300 million left on a contract.
Yeah, I mean, how much you say Buzzy's got left?
I'd have to figure out the years, but it was a $450 million contract, I think, to start. So whatever's remaining on that. I mean, you're talking about just casually trading for another Bryce Harper contract.
Well, and we're worried about like Bryce's health moving forward. Bryce plays a hell of a lot more than Mike Trout does. Yeah. Probably not a well advised decision for the Phillies to make.
Standing ovation. Like, for what? Because he goes to Eagles games? Like, because
I think that's why.
Stupid.
But that's exactly why it happens.
But, like, has he ever even said he wants to play for the Phillies? Like, I find that so stupid.
Well, no, he said he wants to stay in L.A.
It's a one-of-us type of ovation. That's
you can't.
He roots for our teams in other sports. Let's cheer him here.
Yeah, I don't like that. I don't like that.
Yeah, I
no
don't
standing either. Ovation, please.
No, no, please. Have some self-respect.
I
215-592-9494 if you want to get in. A few things on the table today, though. Asking if you still believe in this Phillies core. Do you still think they can win a World Series? We'll get to some interesting audio coming up in a little bit here in regards to the trade deadline. Some Phillies-related things and some things about some players on the market. So we'll get into that coming up a little later in the show. And our side topic today, who or what gets caught? That's what we're talking about. What do you got there, John?
Devin,
what do you got for
Devin? Can you imagine Tom, beleaguered Tom, being a disciplinarian as a dad with his three kids? I'm just trying to envision that. Like, beleaguered Tom, again, I'm very glad that you get to get away and escape to the luxury of Borgata Tom. But are you...
Can I say something real quick? I am uncomfortable with how much time John spends thinking about me and my life. I mean, I'm just like, I'm not going to lie.
Wow.
It makes me a little uncomfortable, John.
Man.
You have an obsession with me that's bordering upon unhealthiness.
I don't know about all that. I would like to see more pictures, though, of you and you know, just like what you do on the weekends, stuff like that. It's just really hard for me to imagine you coming down hard, like, come on, guys, it's time to go. You know, like, he's got three kids. Think about Tom Kelly.
I can picture that.
You should see me when it's time to get the kids to bed. I go into disciplinary.
Have you ever seen? I feel like TK gets mad all the time on air. Like, you can picture it very easily.
Yeah. I feel like I should be one of the easier people to picture, you know, getting. Yeah.
But I feel like maybe the kids wouldn't take it there seriously.
What does that mean? I think it's much harder to think of like Jack with his two kids being a disciplinarian.
Yeah, I can't picture that.
Well, Tom, we have learned on the air though that your oldest son, especially, doesn't really seem to take you seriously.
He doesn't respect you.
He doesn't. No, he doesn't respect me.
How old is he?
He's four. So when a kid's four,
a four-year-old child does not respect you.
These four-year-olds, they have attitudes. These days.
He recently criticized Tom for using his hands too much on the air.
Yeah, he did. He saw a clip of me talking on YouTube, and he said, why do you wave your hands so much when you talk?
Man, you better tell
him. He's
a very observant four-year-old.
Exactly.
I guess that is observant.
I talk with my hands a lot, too.
Yeah, it's something you got to do. It's a tick that I have. I'm trying to correct it since my son called me out for it.
Would you say that your four-year-old son is, he does not respect you?
Probably not. 215-592-9494 if you want to get in. And if you want to try to talk some sense into John to support Joe, you're welcome
to do that.
The next thing we're talking about is tennis, right? We're talking about tennis.
Ball man.
You're the ball man, and you've got to pick a side.
I'm ball man. Like, I can't be supportive of one side or the other.
Yes, you can.
Ball man.
You've been very supportive of one side.
Yeah, you've been very supportive of Jack. What the hell are you talking about? You've said you're rooting for Jack.
I'm right down the middle.
Well, oh yeah, neutral Richie over
the
here.
Ball man.
You just sort of
what is this?
He's obsessed with the ball man thing, like it's the Nightman now. And because
voice cracked.
Well, you were here. He's the official ball man for the tennis match.
I am the ball man, Devin.
Yeah.
Let's go to Bob. Bob at Egg Harbor. What's up, Bob?
Hey, Tom. Hey, Devin. Johnny, I got to support you, buddy. I know exactly where you're coming from.
Thank you. Do you really?
Exactly.
It feels like I'm really on an island here.
Well, you're a world-class athlete, and nobody else can understand that this guy is the furthest thing from an athlete.
Well, I don't know if we could call John a world-class athlete after seeing that clip of Dion roasting him yesterday. That was all over social media, too, John.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Tom, how do you think you would have done with that one?
It's Dion Sanders that in play, his prime,
yeah,
man.
That play happened to me with kids in high school, so I don't have much room to talk.
Dion in his prime. Dion was, like, flying in a helicopter to go play for the Reds right after that.
The video is hilarious, though. To watch how badly you missed that.
I know.
Tackle.
I mean, I, I, It was just me and him. I couldn't even touch him. I couldn't even lay a finger.
You missed him by like 3 yards.
Yeah. And then I floundered.
Yeah. that was good stuff.
Flopped around.
Joe beats him. Joe beats Jack in a mental game in golf. John, your head would have exploded if you were there for the baseball, because the last thing he says before he goes.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The field is, guys, I can hit. Well, if you can't hit Boban on a Division 7 pitcher, I don't know what you can hit.
Division 7.
Yeah. Division 7, he says. Yeah. So he still gets back after it. He goes, oh, I'm disappointed. I should have hit him. Well, then get up there and don't try to take strikes or don't try to take balls. Get up there and rope 4 singles and you take the competition. That's what it happens.
Yeah. Yeah. You know? I think that he was probably going to try to, you know, it feels like he's trying to outfox each competition. That's not the root of what he's doing this for. Like the root of what he set out to do was to prove he's a better athlete than Jack. And that's not what he is.
Couple adjectives of an athlete would be fast. Running, jumping.
Yeah.
The last things of him.
You know what the best upset would be if Joe's just like playing possum with the running and was intentionally running poorly?
Oh,
and
no,
he comes
no,
into the
no.
sprinting no, and he's just like a speed demon.
We've seen over the years, like it, you know, when he'll just try to field during, you know, a game, a PAL game, you know, prior to a Phillies game or. Even at a Sixers game, I've seen him trying to defend the small children, like some second graders. And it's just, he's ineffective because he's incapable of running. You know, like, running is the core to any sport, unless it's like equestrian or swimming.
Or golf.
Swimming golf. Or golf, I guess, yeah.
He won, yeah.
That's the one he won.
What do you got on the Phils, Bob?
So, yeah, I don't think the way they're currently constructed, they have a chance, but I think, you know, the bullpen or the outfield or the hitting is going to come back and bite them. Can't get all five pitchers to pitch 9 innings and win 1-0. It's not going to happen.
Yeah, what do you got for our side topic, Bob? Who or what gets caught?
So I had one, but I think I'm switching it up. I got a tiger.
A tiger? Okay.
Tiger Woods.
Oh, yeah. Remember he got his ex-wife was like, took a baseball bat or a golf club to his car or something.
Tools after him.
Right, there you go, Bob. Appreciate the call. Yeah, at first I was thinking of physical tiger. I'm like, well, I guess they could get caught.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess if you're a tiger in a zoo, you're caught.
Yeah, tiger, that was a bad moment for
you. You know, a tiger's skin. A tiger's skin is striped just like its hair is.
Oh, really? Cool. I didn't know that.
Makes sense.
Yeah, there you go.
Like, if you shaved a tiger...
It would have stripes. It's pretty neat.
That is very interesting fact.
it's crazy when you think about it.
He does not look like he's interested whatsoever.
Well, no, I'm interested. I just like when somebody tells you that a tiger has stripes on their skin just like their fur, like. Okay, I don't know.
What do I do with that information?
Yeah, I don't know what the logical follow-up is to that.
I think it's so fascinating. I really think it's fascinating. And the biggest thing I find most fascinating about tigers, I guess it's a hypothetical. If you're allergic to house cats, like I am, and like a lot of people are we allergic to a tiger too? Like, am I allergic to a lion?
Well, that's a good question.
Right.
That's a good question.
And if that's the case, if I'm allergic to a tiger and a lion, just like I'm allergic to the house cat or the barn cat, is that because it was an evolutionary advantage once upon a time when my distant ancestors were trying to figure out which cave to inhabit. Like, they could send my relative into the, like, the caves to go be like the bomb sniffer.
Well, John.
But I'm the cave bear sniffer and the saber-toothed tiger
there's a
sniffer.
There's a thing in front of you called a computer. You should look it up and see. Let's go to Pete in Florida. What's up, Pete?
Yeah, I had the greatest catch ever. Bill Clinton, Monica Lewinsky.
Well, yeah, he definitely got caught. I think a lot of the cheating scandals. Yes,
that is a big
cut. My Phillies thing. I know you guys are busy. My Phillies thing is Sid Stott. He's batting 167 for July, but replacing him with Sosa. Stott's been horrible.
Yeah, and that's something, and appreciate the call, Pete. I think that's something the Phillies might need to look at doing more is playing Sosa more and playing Stott, you know, less, not just against lefties, but maybe against righties as well. But I'm curious where you guys come down on this part of things, because you look at this lineup and you look at what's available at the trade deadline now, and I think most people are in agreement the Phillies need a right-handed bat, guy who can hit for power. Now, of the guys that are out there right now, it feels like the two who are most available are Brent Rooker and Eugenio Suarez, which are not perfect fits. I mean, Suarez is a third baseman. You trade for him. Obviously, you already have Alec Bohm. Rooker, an outfielder slash DH, kind of like a Kyle Schwarber type where you're going to lose offense or defense in the outfield if you trade for a guy like that. Are you at the point where you'd be willing to either move Bryce Harper back to the outfield or play Kyle Schwarber more in the field? I mean, I've been resistant to this point, but the more I look at this offense and the more I feel like they need a bat, I think you almost need to be open to it. Like, especially with Harper, I don't want to move him. But if you trade for a guy like Suarez, who would offensively fit perfectly. Guys hit 30 home runs, plays third base. What you could do is you could move Bohm over to first, move Harper back to the outfield. John, is that something that you'd consider doing?
I don't want to mess. If we're talking about in Schwarber's case, I don't want to mess with his DH status too much because, man, he's on the type of tear this season where he's in consideration. MVP type consideration. If he ties one on in the second half and goes on a tear, you know, like Schwarjune normally goes. If he comes out of the All-Star break like that for a month, holy cow, Kyle Schwarber, his numbers, his slugging numbers, his on base, things like that. His average is, for an MVP, that's out. You know, it's low. Where is he right now? 250-ish.
Which for him is seven. Which for him is fine.
For
if
him,
he's hitting for
great.
That kind of power, yeah.
But if we're talking about grand scheme MVP, but I'm telling you, he could. I just don't want to mess. I don't want to mess with a great thing. Kyle Schwarber was one of the great things. The starting pitching, one of the great things about the first half. I want to leave that alone. But if it means if we got to put. If we need to add some pop offensively, I certainly understand. If that means sitting Bryce and Stott, I certainly understand. But if that means moving Bryce, I'm fine with that. Let's get pop.
And that's the only thing is like if that's the only way, if that's your only option to get a bat, I think you need to consider it. Where do you fall on that, Devin?
I mean, I like Bryce Harper at first base, obviously, like we all do. But I feel like I'm one of the few, like we talk about like Reese Hoskins. I know that there were talks of, you know, bringing him back, which I don't think is going to happen. That was a while ago, but like we forget how it feels to have a first baseman who isn't that great at defense, who you never know if they're going to, you know, make the catch for the out and make the play or not, where Bryce Harper is pretty solid in that. And I know that he's solid in the outfield too, but especially with his wrist inflammation, why mess it up, right? Like, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. So I would prefer to keep him at first base. I wouldn't mess with moving him to the outfield. But if it brought in a bat that could definitely give this lineup a boost, I'd be open to it. I guess my question would be, like, if you brought in someone who is the name? Rooker that you
Rooker
just mentioned?
Rooker or Suarez,
Like, could maybe they go to the outfield? Like, why would that, you know, so I would ideally want to bring in someone who could be versatile and play in the outfield instead of moving Bryce Harper to the outfield.
Yeah, and that's the issue. It just feels like there are kind of imperfect fits out there right now. Where you'd love to there just to be, you know, a corner outfielder available, but it just doesn't seem like that's the case right now.
Well, and I had heard rumors that the Phils were going after Byron Buxton from the Twins, and I was excited about that because, like, he fits, I think, a lot of the areas that they need. He's an outfielder. He's batting pretty well. He was in the home run derby this year, and then he came out and said, yeah, I'm not I have a no trade clause in my contract, and I'm not going anywhere. So that kind of dashed those hopes and dreams for him. But, like, someone like him would be, I think, a perfect match for the Phils. It's just like, who else can you get who's available that's not like a Mike Trout, always injured, gonna take up a lot of money? Not that there's a salary cap, but I don't think that John Middleton's looking to pay too many other guys like the salary that Bryce Harper and Trey Turner are getting.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And we got Beat the Kelly coming up in a couple minutes here, so you want to call in, you want to get involved in that, 215-592-9494.
Hey, Tom.
To compete in some trivia here. What's up, John?
I'm allergic to lions also.
There you go. You're allergic to lions also.
Is that what you've been doing? You're just like, you're back in the studio, Richie, just like Googling what you're allergic to?
No.
In terms of big cats?
No. It is amazing.
Does Richie have a camera on him?
I don't think he does. So he gets to do whatever he wants.
No, he does. Tucker
does?
He does? Yes. Him and myself both have cameras on us today. In addition to you guys, Tucker figured it out.
It's like a puppy. It's like a nanny cam that you have at home, you know, like when your dog is at home by itself.
Yeah, exactly.
Richie's on the ring.
We got to keep an eye on John.
Yeah.
Make sure he's not getting into the food in the closet or in the fridge. Let's go to Anthony. Anthony in South Philly. What's up, Anthony?
Great show, everyone.
Thanks, you, man. Anthony.
So I want to talk about Embiid, and then I want to try and convince John. So Embiid is he's a child, and he's not a closer. If we're down two and you need a bucket, are you, like, thinking, hey, you know what? Embiid's going to come through for us, or he's going to do two or three dribbles back in and then a fadeaway? The guy is so weak. It gets me sick that we're even talking about this guy. He's like, I can't believe they paid him, and I don't even like watching him. He's weak, and he's not a closer, and it's just so annoying that he's even like putting all this stuff out there.
Well, Anthony, it's one of those things where nobody, like, I don't think anybody would say everything that's happened here is Embiid's fault. It's not. I mean, there's a fair share of blame to go around, but I don't think, like, I feel like with Joel Embiid, he wants the credit. He's fine with the credit when things are going well, but he's not willing to take the criticism when things go wrong. And when you're a superstar in the NBA, that just comes with territory. That's how every superstar in the NBA is treated. You get the credit when things go well, you get the blame when things don't go well.
Yeah, I agree with you. And John, I got a lot to say, man. So do you consider this show like a family? Is this family to you?
Do I consider the show like family?
Yeah, your colleagues right now that you work with every day, Joe, is it a family?
I think, like, it's more team than family.
Fair enough.
Family is very, very near and dear.
You guys are with each other all the time. And if he wins, which is a long shot because the guy's a giant underdog. You know, you have to respect that. He's a giant underdog. Like, Fritz, he's like 15 years younger, and he played in college. You know, so are you going to be happy?
Which
if
is
he
why
wins?
No, I challenge. I don't agree that Joe is the better athlete of the two. Premise of the whole contest is based on that.
I love it. Yeah. So, would you be happy if Joe wins?
Well, I would have to be. I would be amazed.
That's a no. That's a no.
Congratulatory toward Joe, but I would be shocked and dismayed.
Okay.
Because I think it's wrong that he believes that he is better than Jack.
So what you're getting at is that you're kind of like, this is against Joe. You think he's pompous. You think he's a little annoying. And you're rooting against him because you really don't want him to win. And that's why what you should do. And here's my last thing. You know, The Godfather, greatest movie. You guys are movie buffs. What's one of the famous lines in The Godfather? What's one of the famous lines?
Well, you give it to us, Anthony.
Yo, John, I love you. Do never go against the family. Don't go against the family, man. You got to be on his side. He's an underdog, root for him, and you're a pro athlete. How many times did you play against teams that you felt like, you know what, we don't have a shot here? But you know what? You still fought. You strategized to try and win, even though you were a giant underdog. You got to support this guy. He's on your team. He's on your. He's in your family. That's all I got to say.
Well, there you go, Anthony. There you go, Anthony.
Go, Joe.
Appreciate the call, Anthony. Thanks. If you want to get in, 215-592-9494 is how you join the show. We'll get to Beat the Kelly in a couple minutes here. You want to get in, call the contest line, 215-988-1258. 215-988-1258 to get in to compete against me in trivia. We'll get that in a few minutes. He'd do anything for you there, John, to kind of get you – No. Get you on Joe's side a little more?
No, not at all. The idea of team and family are very different. Team is very different from family, and that's okay. And again, I think people are looking at this very differently than I am. And you are very clearly. This is Joe versus Jack. This is... I can, again, be supportive of Joe in other ways when I agree with him in his endeavors. This is one endeavor that I do not agree with.
Well, I just think you need to get behind him. I just think you need to get behind him because the afternoon show has made it into a bigger deal. But doesn't seem like I'm – I thought I was getting in a little bit on Wednesday. It feels like we've gone backwards. Yeah. In that regard. Let's go to Donald Chester. What's up, Donald?
Hey, good morning. Good morning.
Donald, what's up?
Man, okay, first of all, how's this? How about Donovan McNabb getting caught throwing up in the Super Bowl? How's that?
Ooh.
For something.
Well, that's, something. I mean, that does fit.
Yeah, I mean it's a famous thing. I think it's overrated, but yeah, it does fit.
Yeah, I'm not trying to win anything. I just wanted to put that out there, you know, with that.
Well, I got you. What do you got on this? What do you got on the Sixers?
Man, I've been saying this ever since Richie was doing the midday with the Cameron. I just felt like the team itself never looked like anything like the '80s team, you know, Now I realize that Embiid always has had issues. He's always, you know, there was always something about him that made us, you know, mad about him. However, I just remember as a child is that the Sixers tried to do right by Doc. You know, they always tried to get him a piece and they kept him in the finals. They kept him in the Eastern Conference Finals, and I just never thought that the Sixers did right by Embiid by getting him somebody that could also dominate the same way he did. So, you know, me at this point, I can understand on the other side if Embiid is trying to push himself out, like you say. You know, I can understand that.
Yeah, Donald, I don't agree with it. Like, I get that the Sixers haven't done things right, but, I mean, let's not act like Joel's done everything right either. Like, I don't think that's the case, you know, on that side of it.
I mean, that was my first point there because, see, I don't disagree with that. But when I go back to the 80s and I can look at something, I look at if Moses was able to dominate the paint, that means there was, you know, you had Tony out there was able to shoot. You had, you know, Bobby and you had Doc, and, you know, was able to do things. It was just that it was just always.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.
Like, to me, it was just always Embiid. It was always just Embiid, you know, and nobody else, and no matter what Embiid did, it just, to me, you know, it just wasn't, I mean, enough.
Yeah, that's the way it turned out.
I don't appreciate the call. I don't think we can just, like, absolve Joel Embiid from any sort of blame and criticism here. Like, and I'm not saying the Sixers have done everything right around him. That's obviously not been the case. But, like, at the end of these series where they have lost, I don't think he's ever taken the full brunt of the blame or the majority of the blame. Like, it's always been, you know, either Ben Simmons or it's been James Harden. Or, you know, we never really come down on Joel, and he's been awful at the end of these games.
Like, I mean, I feel like we as in Philadelphia fans and sports radio and, like, I feel like people do come down on Joel Embiid really hard.
Actually. I disagree.
They blame him for quote unquote giving up in the Celtics series. They blame him for not doing enough. They blame him for his play, which, like, I understand, but I also think it's more so. And what that article is kind of getting at, in my opinion, is saying, like, yeah, you can have frustrations with me as the man, as the person, Joel Embiid, but what I do on the court is separate from that. Do you know what I'm saying? Like,
yeah.
It's not like he's still a dominant basketball player, even if people and fans have issues with his attitude around the game.
Yeah, I get that. But I just think, like, when you look at, like, the like these series that they have lost, I feel like the brunt of the blame always goes elsewhere. I feel like when they lost the Hawks, Joel was terrible in that series, but everybody blamed Ben Simmons because that was the easy thing to do, Joel included. The end of the Celtics series, I mean, Joel takes some of it for that, but, I mean, I think James Harden gets blamed far more than Embiid does, and Harden was the guy in that series. He won the Sixers more games in that series than Joel did. He had two great games, and I just think, you know, he likes to accept the credit but doesn't always like to take his culpability in it with the blame. Is the way
I hear what you're saying. Yeah.
So, but without further ado, it is time to do Beat the Kelly. Let's get Bobby in Bethlehem in here, who is our contestant today. What's going on, Bobby?
Hey, what's going on, guys?
Do you feel confident, Bobby, in your ability to win this competition today?
Yeah, I would be a little less confident if I was going against the camera, so I feel pretty good against you.
Yeah, they're fighting words to start here.
It's kind of a low blow, Bobby.
I will not claim to be the aficionado the hammer is, but I still think I can take you down, Bobby.
It'll be a good competition. It'll be a good one.
All right, now is it time for me to step away into the soundproof booth?
Well, you've already flubbed this. You forgot to cue the open.
Come on, Tom.
It's time to do Beat the Kelly.
Beat the Kelly. It's time for Beat the Kelly on Sports Radio 94 WIP.
I mean, have a feel.
That's on you, Buzz.
What do you mean it's
producer.
On me?
You're supposed to instruct me with these kind of things. You're producing the show. That's
you as the contestant in the camera chair, fire it. Seltzer doesn't tell Joe when to fire it. He just says it.
Well, they do it every week. Well, without further ado, should I step away now, Buzz?
Yes, now you should step away.
Wait. Before you do, are we same rules as
Beat
the Hammer, 55 seconds?
55 seconds. These will be five sports questions. John has the timer. Bobby and Tom, a reminder, because Tom, you don't usually play this. Bobby, I'm not sure if this is your first time or not. You may either attempt to answer a question, you may pass. If you do attempt to answer a question and you are wrong, you may not circle back to it. If you pass, of course, you can circle back to it. And the time begins after I begin reading the first question. Everyone clear on the rules?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. Yep. Same rules as always. All right.
Tom,
now you can scram.
Man.
All right. So, Richie, you have the timer back
there?
You're
running it, Buzz.
Well,
nice
listen,
job.
I mean, someone's got to take control. Tom forgetting to fire the intro. He's just like, oh, do I step away now? How does this work? I mean, listen to the segment
Tom.
Once in a while. Come on.
Talkative and beleaguered Tom.
Yep. All right, Bob.
I got the clock
yes.
for you, Bud.
All right. So, Richie's got the clock. Bobby, you ready to play a game we call Beat the Kelly?
Let's do it.
All right, category for the week. So I don't know if you've been listening to the station this week, but on the midday show and all of WIP, it has been quarter century week here on WIP, things that have happened since the year 2000 in Philadelphia sports. So today's category is quarter century playoff trivia. These are all Philadelphia sports playoff trivia questions about the past quarter century. Are you ready to roll?
Let's do it.
All right, clock will begin after I finish reading the first question. Question number one. There are two current NFC teams who have defeated the Eagles in multiple playoff games since 2000. Name both of them.
Tampa Bay Bucks and the Seattle Seahawks.
There are three current National League teams who the Phillies have not played in a playoff series this century. Name one of them.
Chicago Cubs.
Since 2000, the Sixers have defeated two different teams in multiple playoff series. Name one of them.
Brooklyn Nets.
The 2010 Flyers overcame a 3-0 series deficit to the Bruins. They played the Blackhawks in the Stanley Cup Final. Name one of the two other teams they played that postseason.
Pass.
In the four major sports since 2000, Philadelphia's had eight head coaches or managers make the playoffs and never win a round. Name two of them.
Time.
All right, not bad. That's a 2 out of 5. These are somewhat tough, and
jeez,
you know,
man, it feels like they're long.
Little wordy, perhaps. I mean, I think if you can.
No, I think they're good.
I think really? They're good. They're about the same length that James usually. James right. usually goes. I feel like
James's are usually wordy.
Yeah, James is like spitting them out really fast. All right, so we're gonna
put how'd he do?
We're gonna put Bobby on hold. Tom, we don't tell you how he did, but
I know that buzz.
Okay, well, you've really been trying to get an edge here.
Did you give him extra time? That felt like it took a long time.
Did not give him extra time.
Hell yeah, we gave him extra time.
Yeah, we're actually trying to rig it here.
Talkative Tom.
It felt like it took.
That's how we roll,
man.
We just bend the rules to try to cheat, to beat you.
Richie, this is not the flex you think it is.
No.
yeah, exactly.
All right, Tom.
All right, let's go.
So the category for the week, in honor of it being quarter century week here on the Midday Show and really all across WIP, this is quarter century playoff trivia. Quarter century Philadelphia sports playoff trivia, things that have happened since 2000. Are you ready to roll?
I am ready.
All right. The clock will begin when I finish reading the first question. There are two current NFC teams who have defeated the Eagles in multiple playoff games since 2000. Name both of them.
The Saints. And I'll pass.
There are three current National League teams the Phillies have not played in a playoff series this century. Name one of them.
Pass.
Since 2000, the Sixers have defeated two different teams in multiple playoff series. Name one of them.
The Heat.
The 2010 Flyers overcame a 3-0 series deficit to the Bruins. They played the Blackhawks in the Stanley Cup Final. Name one of the two other teams they played that postseason.
Canadians.
In the four major sports since 2000, Philadelphia has had eight head coaches or managers make the playoffs but never win a round. Name two of them.
Chip Kelly. And Tony DeLeo.
There are two current NFC teams who defeated the Eagles in multiple playoff games.
Time.
Wow, we have a 2-2 tie.
Ooh. Oh, do you have overtime?
Wow. Fortunately, I have
that
an
overtime. I'm disappointed in my performance. Wow. That was a bad performance.
Fortunately, I have prepared an overtime question. Now, the rules for this, for anyone unaware, is Tom is going to step away once again. It is going to be a question where I ask both of you to name as many blank as you can in 15 seconds. Bobby will go first. Tom will come back, and we'll see who can name more in 15 seconds. If you guys tie that again, I do have one final question that is guaranteed to settle.
All right, I'll step away in 1 second, but you're listening to 94 WIP HD1 Philadelphia, broadcasting from the Tasty Cake Studios today at Borgata in Atlantic City. Let me know when to come back. Good luck, Bobby.
Man.
Gotta take your headphones off.
This is intense.
Oh, it sounds like Tom tried to walk away with the headphones on still.
And he just ripped them right off.
Devin was laughing at him.
All right.
He seems flustered.
Bob, you ready for this overtime question?
Yeah, hey, so I got the 15. So I'm going to be 15 seconds timing as soon as you
finish reading the question.
Okay, and that's 15 seconds. And then, Bobby, you're going to have to just roll.
Name as many
as
you
can. Okay.
Yep.
All right, you ready? All right. The Eagles won three playoff games during the 2017-18 season en route to their first ever Super Bowl victory. 10 different Eagles recorded a reception in those playoff games. Name as many as you can. Go.
Aguilar, Jeffrey, Ertz, Burton, Foles, Clement, Blunt, Ajayi, selling.
Time.
All right, I think he got seven. I believe he got seven within the time frame. So we're going to put Bobby back on hold yet again. We're going to wait.
He's running. Love the hustle, TK.
Thank you.
Love the hustle.
So you counted seven. He said nine names.
No.
Names.
John, do you not know how this game works? You do this every week.
Yes.
All right. What are we, one of them,
we can go back and check the tape, but I believe one of them you said was incorrect. I now can't say who it was because Tom is back.
What are the rules?
All right, I'm going to read a question. You're going to name as many as you can in 15 seconds, all right?
Okay.
You ready? The Eagles won three playoff games during the 2017-18 season en route to their first ever Super Bowl victory. 10 different Eagles recorded a reception in those games. Name as many as you can. Go.
Alshon Jeffrey, Torrey Smith, Corey Clement, Jay Ajayi, Zach Ertz, Dallas Goedert, or not Dallas Goedert. Darren
Time.
Or no.
Wow, a win for Bobby.
Oh my God.
Way to go.
Disappointing
Bobby.
Performance.
Yeah!
A 7-5 win in overtime.
7-5.
There we go.
Well, Bobby, congratulations.
Woo! I appreciate a good effort there, too, guys.
Nice.
Poor effort for me.
Now, why do you say that? That was.
No, I'm mad. I'm mad at myself. I choked in the big stage. I'm just like Joel Embiid.
Oh, no. Oh.
Dallas Goedert.
I know. Dallas Goedert. I was panicking. I was just thinking of recent Eagles. He came the year after. Yeah,
you didn't name Nick Foles?
Yeah, Nick Foles. That's bad. I should have remembered that. Nelson Agholor was an obvious one, too. Were those the two that he got that I didn't get?
And he got Brent Celek. I don't know if you said Brent Celek.
No, I should have said him over Dallas Goedert.
Yeah.
But well done, Bobby. Nice job.
Appreciate it. All right. Have a good one, guys.
There you go. So Bobby wins today. Was that the longest beat the hammer type thing ever?
I feel like there's been overtime before.
Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
I think you're fine, honestly. Like, Joe's probably celebrated for longer than that.
So. I shave. Well, yeah.
Well, that's the other thing. The segment wraps up quicker when Joe's not here.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. Joe usually, will he now strut around and do his whole victory dance through Borgata
well,
for the next
won,
5 minutes?
Yeah.
But doesn't he pretty much always win?
No, he loses.
No.
He loses. He'll have you believe he always wins. But he'll lose, and then if he loses, he just, like, ruminates over the questions and how they were worded unfairly according to him and how he like wants to redo.
So Tom, these questions you got wrong. So you the first
I should have gotten the Nets for the Sixers. That was bad.
Yeah, so the first question was there are two current NFC teams who have defeated the Eagles multiple playoff games since 2000. The Buccaneers and Saints are the two answers. Buccaneers and Saints have actually both beat them three times.
So you got half.
I forgot the Bucs game in 2021. That's the one
oh
I
my
forgot.
Gosh,
or how about the closing of the vet? Like it happened three times.
Well, I remember that one. You said multiple times.
Yes, 2021, and they also lost to them a couple years ago too.
Right in 2021
that's and 2023.
Oh, right. I forgot that.
Happened three separate times.
Right. Yeah.
So
that's one I should have got.
Bucks and Saints there. There are three current NL teams. The Phillies have not played in a playoff series this century. The Nationals, Cubs, and Pirates are the three. They've not played any of those teams. Since 2000, the Sixers have defeated two different teams in multiple playoff series. The Nets and Raptors would have been the correct answers there. The 2010 Flyers overcame a 3-0 series deficit to the Boston, then played the Blackhawks, Devils in the first round, Canadians in the conference finals. And in the four major sports since 2000, Philadelphia's had eight head coaches or managers make the playoffs but never win a round. Chip Kelly, Maurice Cheeks, Tony DeLeo, Jim O'Brien, Nick Nurse, Bill Barber, Craig Berube, and Dave Haxtell.
Yeah, that was one. Correct. I was just trying to cycle through those bad like Sixers teams and their coaches.
Tony DeLeo was.
I was proud of the Tony DeLeo.
That was a good pull.
And I was proud of that.
That was just a force overtime with like seconds to spare.
Yeah, but not a good performance. I'm disappointed. Good questions though, Buzz. They were fair. I'm not gonna do the hammer thing. I'm going to take accountability.
Oh, that's refreshing to
you. Yeah. No problem.
Accountability in this segment? Yeah. What's going on?
I got to do a better job, as Andy Reid would say.
College holds a mythic place in American culture. On the new Campus Files podcast, we uncover the scandals you won't hear on the campus tours. Find Campus Files on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.